abound. And you are faithful to release your spirit now.
Well, Shabbat Shalom. I confess, I was intrigued with the transformation which came over Shimon Kefa. I realize Ezekiel shared with us Yahweh's plan for transformation when he wrote in chapter 36, verse 26, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit inside you. I will take the stony heart out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. Rav Shaul also taught Yahweh's transformation of the heart as one of the first steps towards full transformation, as we find in Ephesians 1, verse 18. I pray that he will give light to the eyes of your hearts so that you will understand the hope to which he has called you, what rich glories there are in the inheritance he has promised his people. Certainly we can see the results of the transformation which occurred to Shimon Kefa's heart as he spoke to the huge crowd of pilgrims outside the temple at Solomon's portico. We've read Shimon Kefa's speech many times recorded in Acts 2. Let's just read a portion of this once more, this time looking for evidence of the disciples' transformation. Brothers, I know I can say to you frankly that the patriarch David died and was buried. His tomb is with us to this day. Therefore, since he was a prophet and knew that God had sworn an oath to him that one of his descendants would sit on his throne, he was speaking in advance about the resurrection of Messiah, that it was he who was not abandoned in Sheol and whose flesh did not decay. God raised up this Yeshua, and we are all witnesses of it. Thank you, Jeremiah. Yes, Shimon Kefa was an articulate orator, but remember, he was not a theologian. He was a fisherman. He did not have any more Torah training than other boys, about 6 years. Yet his theology was deep and was based on an intimate knowledge of the prophets and the other writings of Tanakh. Is there any question of his profound transformation? Abba B'Shamayim, Heavenly Father, when we receive your transformative power, we are truly transformed. What a clear example you have for us in Shimon Kefa, a simple fisherman whom you transformed into the strong and vibrant leader of Adonai Yeshua's disciples. I pray the wisdom you have given him will help us as we live each special day you have given to us. B'Shem Yeshua, Moshichenu. Amen. In today's message, I have been led to examine Shimon Kefa's teaching as found in his epistle to the Jewish believers in Asia Minor, those he calls God's chosen people living as aliens in the diaspora, as we read in 1 Peter 1, verse 1. This first portion of his letter focuses on encouraging those facing persecution for their faith, read trust in Adonai Yeshua. Hence the title of today's message, Life is Hard, Trust. Rejoice in this, even though for a little while you may have to experience grief in various trials. Even gold is tested for genuineness by fire. The purpose of these trials is so that your trust's genuineness, which is far more valuable than perishable gold, will be judged worthy of praise, glory, and honor at the revealing of Adonai Yeshua, the Messiah, as we read in 1 Peter 1, verses 6 and 7. As believers in Yahweh Adonai Yeshua, Almighty God, we have are and will experience trials which will sorely test our trust. For this reason, if for none other, the words of our ancient prophets and leaders remain so important as guides to us for our path. For example, in Psalm 37, verses 3 and 4, we read, "Trust in Adonai and do good. Settle in the land and feed on faithfulness. Then you will delight yourself in Adonai, and he will give you your heart's desire." There are two principles which emerge for me as being absolutely essential as we continue on his path: trust and joyfulness. We've discussed trust many times before. However, this concept is so vital to our spiritual lives, it bears reinforcement. Trust is active. It requires us to step out, knowing, not merely believing. Yahweh has nothing but good intentions for us. Trusting Yahweh is similar to standing on the edge of a cliff and deliberately stepping off the edge, knowing he will catch us. This is the trust he wants us to harbor in our hearts and in our minds. Then there is joyfulness at all times and for all things. Once again, the psalmist guides us in Psalm 100, verse 2, "Serve Adonai with gladness. Enter his presence with joyful songs." Do we, you and I, always serve him with gladness? Are songs of praise and worship reverberating through our heads each day as we step out for him? Possibly not, as all too often we allow the world's troubles to enter our minds and hearts, changing joy into suspicion or grief. Then we have the following advice from Moshe in Deuteronomy 12, verse 18. "You are to rejoice before Adonai your God in everything you undertake to do." Could this instruction be any clearer? Everything we do for him is done through love and is to be accompanied by and through joy. Easy? Hardly. But that is a condition of heart towards which you and I must continue to strive. If you are cringing, even inwardly, if not externally, at the thought of having to display joy in everything we do, rest assured this is not something we can accomplish on our own. Believe me, if this was to be determined by our own efforts and our own strength, we would all be doomed to failure. Take heart, beloved. Such joy can only be received through the love of Adonai Yeshua, as he assures us in John 15, verses 10 and 11. "If you keep my commands, you will stay in my love, just as I have kept my Father's command and stay in his love. I have said this to you so that my joy may be in you and your joy be complete." So here is his promise to us. If we follow on his path, obeying his life instructions, his love will be in us. With his love also comes his joy. With his joy in us, our joy will be complete. This, beloved, is not our doing. It is his. Support for Shimon Kefa's teaching comes from Rav Shaul, who writes to us in his letters to the believers of Philippi, as we read in Philippians 4, verse 4, "Rejoice in union with Adonai always. I will say it again, rejoice."
Amen.
Rav Shaul's message: joy is to be found in union with Adonai Yeshua. When we are in union with him, we receive his protection, his grace, and his love. But what happens when we are faced with the raging storms of life? How easy is it for us to keep our trust in him? Let's return to Shimon Kefa's experience on Lake Kinneret. We have focused on this experience many times, but there are so many messages for us which emerge from this event. In Matthew 14, verses 28 to 30, we are witnesses. Then Kepha called to him, "Adonai, if it is really you, tell me to come on the water." "Come," he said. So Kepha got out of the boat and walked on the water toward Adonai Yeshua. But when he saw the wind, he became afraid. And as he began to sink, he yelled, "Mahya Yashi!" He cried in Aramaic, "Lord, save me!" Let's examine the events and what happened to Shimon Kepha. When he leapt from the boat, Shimon was filled with confidence and trust. He didn't even think of the consequences of his action. In his mind at that time, they were inconsequential. But as we are told, he saw the wind. Now here we are given a clue to his state of mind. Obviously, Shimon Kepha could not see the actual wind. What he did see was the fury of the storm, the waves rising and crashing all around him. He was caught up with the turmoil, so greatly he lost sight of Messiah Yeshua. Isn't that like all of us at some time in our journey? Everything is fine when we first step out in service of Adonai Yeshua, but then the storms begin as the adversary attempts to draw our focus away from Adonai Yeshua onto the storms of life. This distraction is enough to create doubt in our minds and our hearts, so we lose the confidence we had. The wedge has been placed in our trust, allowing doubt to enter. Where there is doubt, trust is diminished. How can we keep our focus on Adonai Yeshua? Beloved, we are constantly faced with choices, but they boil down to two distinct categories. We choose to be attuned to Yahweh Adonai Yeshua, or we choose to be of the world. As we are told in Matthew 6:24, no one can be slave to two masters, for he will either hate the first and love the second, or scorn the second and be loyal to the first. From this I would draw the understanding we can't be of Yahweh and be of the world at the same time. This is like trying to mix oil and water. When we are more drawn to the stresses of life and allow ourselves to be consumed by them, then we are denying Adonai Yeshua's love for us. I know I am sounding harsh, but our reactions to stress are a matter of personal choice. "But," you cry, "how can I avoid stress in my life? I am faced with people who challenge me, attack me, argue with me, disrespect me throughout the day. How can I avoid being stressed?" Listen again to what I said. How we react to the stressors in our lives is a matter of personal choice.
Restore. if you would fall on me. You alone I desire. Come. Fall on me. You alone I desire. Come.
When we are faced with stress, we have the choice to react any way we wish. Now, this is not a sermon on stress, so I won't be going deeply into the science of de-stressing. However, there are ways of reducing and even eliminating the impact of stressful situations. Prayer is the most powerful. Yahweh hears our prayers. And when we heartfully offer our stress to Him, He will listen to us. Exercise is a good way of reducing stress. We cannot feel stressed while we are exercising our body. That is physically impossible. Talking with a receptive and affirming ear is also a way of de-stressing. Whatever approach we take, we need to remember we are the ones who choose the impact stressful situations will have on us. If I decide to put my focus on the world, then I am deciding to be stressed for whatever reason. Believe me, there are people who decide to be stressed for a number of reasons. Two of the most common are manipulative behaviors, trying to manipulate others, and drawing attention to oneself consciously or subconsciously. If we have our focus on Adonai Yeshua, then we will step out in trust of Him and know If we take steps to decrease our reactions to stressful situations, He will bless us. For we are showing love by taking the first step forward. I'd like to draw your attention to another incident on Lake Kinneret, as reported in Mark 4, verses 37 to 38. Let's review this experience. The disciples are rowing across the lake with Adonai Yeshua in the boat with them. Let's follow the action. A furious windstorm arose, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was close to being swamped. But he was in the stern on a cushion, asleep. Have you ever been in a small boat in the middle of a storm? I remember quite vividly the time Chantal and I were in our sailboat on Lake Nipissing just outside North Bay, Ontario. A storm came up quickly, and we were caught a few miles from shore. Although we believed the boat couldn't capsize due to the construction of the hull, both of us were filled with dread as the boat heaved from one side to the other and the water was rushing in over the gunwales. How could we have ever imagined surviving in such a raging storm? Our experience allowed us to wonder at Adonai Yeshua's sleeping through such a turmoil. In later years, we wondered at his faith, his trust Abba would keep him safe. Even though the disciples had been with him for some time, they still didn't understand the authority such trust gave him. They marveled at his being able not only to sleep during the maelstrom, but also to calm the seas. Listen again to their disbelief as we read in Mark 4, verse 31. Who can this be that even the wind and the waves obey him? In both situations, that of Shimon Kepha's lack of trust and the doubting of the disciples, listen to Adonai Yeshua's rebuke. Why are you afraid? Have you no trust even now? One relationship we all know by now, where there is fear, there is no trust. And when there is no trust, there is no joy. And when there is no joy, there is only despair. How can we return to a trusting relationship with the Creator of the universe and the lover of our souls when we are filled with despair? Not everyone builds or retains trust in the same way. Some people never learn to trust, mainly as a result of experience of distrust during childhood. When I speak of trust building, I can only speak for myself. I urge you to gather together during Oneg. Share your experiences with trust, and particularly the trust you developed with and for Adonai Elohim, Adonai Yeshua. As a child into early adulthood, I loved my father, but I never really trusted him. As a result, I experienced trust issues throughout most my adult life. I discovered it took me, on average, 3 years before I came to trust anyone within my professional and social circles. This made for some challenging times, particularly with intimate relationships. When I returned to Adonai Yeshua, the issue of trust loomed large. After my negative spiritual experience, as I explained to you in the sharing of my testimony, I believed I had been betrayed by Yahweh and felt I could not accept him as my Elohim. This had major implications for my trusting him when I returned later in life. Truly, although I could not describe what I felt as the Damascus event, I can honestly tell you there was an immediate bonding. Ruach HaKadosh, the Holy Spirit of the living Elohim, began the transformation process by working on my trust issues, and I felt an instant, yet not quite fully, trust of him. The moment I signaled to him my intent to obey his commands. I wonder if Shimon Kefa and Andrew encountered the same instant bonding when Adonai Yeshua said to them, "Come after me, and I will make you fishers of men." I fully trusted him eventually, and after concrete affirmation, when Chantal and I received our call to come to Winnipeg, even though I knew the environmental and spiritual landscape of this dark city. I trusted him when he directed Chantal and me to begin his congregation, even though I never before in my life had been a leader of any congregation. Both Chantal and I knew he would be there to guide us, providing us with his knowledge, his understandings, and his discernment. And he has not failed us for the past 7 years, even when others have doubted. And now we trust him when he tells us to move to Quebec. He has given us concrete affirmation of this part of his plan for us. What will happen next is unknown at this point, but he will make it clear at the time he wishes. Why am I sharing this with you? This is to indicate how he blesses each and every one of us who walks on his path and tries to keep our eyes, that is, our heart, focused on him. This is his promise to us in Psalm 119, verses 1 and 2. How blessed are those whose way of life is blameless, who live by the Torah of Adonai. How blessed are those who observe his instructions, who seek him wholeheartedly. And in Psalm 128, verse 1, this understanding is reinforced. How blessed is everyone who fears Adonai, who lives by his ways. In James 4, verse 8a, we find the encouraging promise, "Come close to God, and he will come close to you." All three of these scriptural examples involve each one of us stepping out in trust, and then he will come close to us. What we cannot do is sit back and wait for him to come to us when we want him to. That is the world's way of thinking. If God were real, he would come to us in our hour of need. Beloved, he will come to us in our hour of need only when we make the first step towards him. When we have signaled to him our desire to walk his path, in spite and despite the trials and struggles we face in our family or work environments, he will come to us whenever we need him. But, beloved, the choice is ours. Abba Bishamayim, help us to trust you even in times of severe stress and tribulation. Help us to recognize trials come to us to help us build resilience and courage in the face of adversity and conflict. Help us to understand that with trust comes joy, and that the first essential step to receive joy through trust is our stepping towards you, when all we want is for you to scoop us up and remove from us everything which assaults us. I pray you be with us as we wish to be embedded in your joy and in your love. B'shem Adonai Yeshua, Moshichenu, Amen.
known reveal the glory of the living God. Spirit of the sovereign Lord, come and make your presence known, reveal the glory of the living God. Let the weight of your glory cover us. Let the life of your river flow. Let the truth of your kingdom reign in us. Let the weight of your glory, let the weight of your glory fall. Spirit of the sovereign Lord, come and make your presence known, reveal glory of the living God. Spirit of the sovereign Lord, come and make your presence known, reveal the glory of the living God. Truth of your kingdom reign in us. Let the weight of your glory, let the weight of your glory fall. And we do not seek your hand. I
enter through the blood of the Lamb. I enter to worship you only. I enter to honor I am. Lord, I worship you. I worship you. Lord, I worship you. I worship you. For your name is holy.
Glory for.